Counseling question 13. Define and describe the importance of language in counseling. Give examples. My response. The language we use reveals much about what we truly understand and believe. Counselors need to constantly demonstrate biblical language and note the language of a counselee in order to find their skewed views. Sadly, our increasingly psychologized culture has influenced our beliefs, causing us to speak wrongly by stating euphemisms, lies, labels, and misperceptions as certainties on a conversation-by-conversation basis. The more we speak non-truth, the more we believe non-truth. It becomes a part of our mindset. This is a serious matter. Euphemisms are statements that soften the blow of truth. When people declare that they have, quote, mental illness, end quote, or, quote, emotional problems, end quote, they are candy-coating a more serious problem with a nice label. There is no such thing as mental illness because the mind can't be diseased. The brain can, but that is very different. There is no such thing as emotional problems because people who claim such conditions are very emotional, meaning all their emotions work fine. They need to be shown that sin has triggered their emotional responses in a way that they do not like. The sin that produces anger, depression, and self-pity is left unresolved because the euphemistic label has shifted the person's thinking to the blame being on a perceived, quote, sickness or illness, end quote. People don't realize that they speak outright lies. A Bible-believing person has no reason to use words like luck or chance. To do so is to speak of a random world and declare that God is not completely sovereign. God is sovereign. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 10, Psalm 115, verse 3. To the point where even the lot that is drawn from the sticks is decided by the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 33. Rather, a person, quote, ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that, end quote. James 4, verse 15. People also make the absolute statements such as, I can never do that. He's always like this. You say this every time, end quote. These are more non-biblical vocabularies we commonly use. First of all, they are likely untrue, lies. People don't do much of anything 100%, yet this language would state it as a matter of fact. Secondly, these statements are almost always associated with frustration and anger, and are rarely used in pleasant, righteous, or kind manners. Counselees may also find themselves using the word good inappropriately. They may claim that they themselves are good, or that things that they do are good. Indeed, by God's grace, we do some things good, if by that we mean doing things for His glory. We must remember that good doesn't mean nice things, but rather good, according to the whole of Scripture, is to obey the Father and glorify the Son. Perhaps the most unbiblical and self-damaging lie that people utter is can't. Quite often, we see that we, quote, could never do that, can't bring myself to do it, I'm simply not able to, end quote. This is an outrageous denial of 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Paul declares that no temptation will overtake the believer, and that there is hope in every trial, because others have experienced it and have endured it or escaped it. It's a denial of the believer's promise in Philippians 4:13, which declares that we can do all things to the praise of Him because He gives us the strength to do so. Christians who constantly say they can't will soon believe it and disobey God's will for them. Often, we are also very wrong in our speech when we replace what we've done with how we feel. People will say, I feel inferior, inadequate, stupid, lazy. But those are not feelings. This comes back to blame shifting. A person is likely acting stupid or inferior. They cannot feel that way because those are not emotions. The real emotions that they would be experiencing, self-pity, worry, doubt, etc., are not dealt with because they see the cause wrongly. Though there is so much more that could be exemplified, it is important to note that sinful behavior leads to unpleasant emotional experiences. One must repent for Christ's sake, not merely for relief of their perceived feelings. While we can't correct or identify every wrong word or thought, we must carefully hear others' faulty words and ideas so that we can see their upside-down attitudes, beliefs, and opinions in order to help them get turned Bible-side up.